Eyewitness accounts of the March 8, 1891 early morning meeting in Battle Creek, Michigan, by Robinson Olson, Gardner Cottrell, Edna Kilbourne Steele Johnson, and others. The reader will note a number of unimportant inaccuracies or variations in the eyewitness accounts cited on the following pages. Robinson spoke of West Virginia when he should have said Virginia. Olson thought the Salamanca meetings were held in October, when in fact they were in November. He also recalled that Captain Eldridge was the first to respond when all others said it was Ballinger. Robinson declared that Ellen White began her writing at 1 a.m. on Sunday morning, March 8th, while Olson says it was 4 a.m. In general, however, the accounts are remarkably similar and reflect an overall trustworthiness. Personal Experiences in Connection with the Work of Sister White, by Robinson, 1850-1949. In the autumn of 1890, while I was president of the New England Conference, at my solicitation, Sister White, accompanied by Elder W.C. White and Sister Sarah McInterfer, attended a general meeting at South Lancaster, also a series of meetings in Salamanca, New York, and in West Virginia. Before leaving South Lancaster to attend the meeting at Salamanca, Sister White took a severe cold and became very ill on the journey. On the boat from Norwich, Connecticut to New York, Elder White and I were in considerable anxiety concerning her illness. Sister McInterfer strongly insisted that they proceed at once to Battle Creek, but I prevailed upon them to go on to the first appointment at Salamanca. At Salamanca, Sister White insisted upon filling her appointments, though between such appointments she was very ill in bed. She was announced to speak on Sunday afternoon, the meetings being held in the Opera House. She being so ill, Elder White and I made other arrangements for the Sunday afternoon service. Shortly before time for the meeting, she sent for us and told us that Sarah had told her she was not to speak. She then said, with a good deal of emphasis, "I want to know by what authority my appointment has been changed." Brother White explained as best he could. She then said, "Sarah, I want to be gotten ready for the afternoon meeting." Sarah replied, "Mother, you must be crazy." She replied, "No, I am clothed and in my right mind, and I have a message for the people." Brother White and I almost literally carried her from her room to the Opera House and sat her down on the platform. A large audience had assembled, and I trembled for fear, as I knew it was humanly impossible for her to stand upon her feet. After the opening exercises, Elder White and I assisted her to her feet, and she spoke for more than an hour with most wonderful power. I felt greatly encouraged and had faith to believe that she would now be able to fill the other appointments. It is so easy to have faith, or think we have, when the blessing needed is in sight. But a further test awaited us. At the close of the service, we assisted her back to her room, and she was worse the remainder of that afternoon and evening than at any time before. In the evening, it was decided definitely that they leave for Battle Creek the next day, and, although greatly disappointed, I could see no other way. The next morning, Elder White and I were summoned to her room, which we approached with no little anxiety. When we entered her room, Sister White arose and met us, her face beaming with joy and happiness. She quickly told us of an experience of the evening before. As she knelt beside her bed before retiring, she feared she would not have strength to rise again. As she was pleading with God, an angel appeared, standing at the foot of her bed. The angel said, "Satan is your destroyer, but I am your restorer." I do not remember the exact words that followed, but it was to the effect that she was to be strengthened to fill the remainder of the appointments that were out for her to fill in West Virginia. After relating that much of the experience of the evening before, she said, "There were some things presented to me last night concerning the work in Battle Creek that I wish to relate to you, brethren." She then began to talk about the remainder of our journey, and the matter that she had said she wanted to relate to us seemed to have passed out of her mind. I cannot give the exact date of the Salamanca meeting, but it was sometime in the month of November. The General Conference convened in Battle Creek the following March. I think it was the second Sabbath of the conference that Sister White spoke in the afternoon to a very large congregation, the text being Matthew 5, verse 16. The burden of the discourse seemed to be that we were to show our denominational colors by being a distinct people and letting the world know that we have a life and death message for this time. Three times she attempted to tell the scene that passed before her at the Salamanca meeting. Each time her mind would seem to turn in another channel. At the third reference to the Salamanca meeting, she remarked in an almost impatient tone of voice, "But I will have more to say about that some other time." That evening, after Sabbath, I was invited to attend a meeting held in the Review Office Chapel, attended by, I should think, about 30 or 40 people. The meeting was opened and conducted by Elder Dan T. Jones, who had been elected president of the Religious Liberty Association. He stated in a strong way that the association could not continue to use the American Sentinel as the organ of the association unless it would modify its attitude towards some of what was termed the more objectionable features of our denominational views. Elder Jones, editor of the Sentinel, as strongly stated that as long as he had anything to do with the editorship of the paper, there would be no such change as suggested. The meeting assumed the form of a very warm discussion between those who took opposite sides of the question. Elder Ballinger held up the Sentinel and pointed out certain articles that should be omitted. The discussion continued till after midnight and closed about 1 o'clock, with a majority vote to drop the Sentinel and start another paper as the organ of the Religious Liberty Association. I forgot to say that after the meeting Sabbath afternoon, Sister White met with the General Conference Committee for a brief council. Elder Olson asked her if she would be out to the early morning meeting the following day. She replied in characteristic positive manner, "No, I have now delivered my message and I leave the matter with the brethren." Brother Ellery Robinson and I were being entertained during the conference at the home of Brother W.C. White. As we were on our way to the tabernacle to attend the 5:30 meeting Sunday morning, passing the home of Sister White and noticing the house lighted up, Brother White remarked that he would call and see if his mother was ill. After the meeting was opened, Elder W.C. White came in accompanied by his mother, who had quite a lot of manuscript on her arm. After she was seated, Elder Olson said, "Sister White, have you a message for us?" She replied, "Yes," and arose and stated that she was awakened after midnight and bidden by an angel to write out the vision given her at the Salamanca meeting. Said she had been writing since 1 o'clock. She then read many pages, in which she stated, among other things, that at the Salamanca meeting, she was taken into a meeting where the subject under discussion was the American Sentinel. She spoke of the harsh, unchristian spirit manifested by some during the discussion. Said one brother arose, holding up a copy of the Sentinel, and pointed to several articles that should be eliminated, as the paper is being read by members of Congress, judges, lawyers, etc. After Sister White finished reading and commenting, we all sat for a season in silence. Quite a number of us had been in the meeting in the Review Office Chapel the evening before, and knew that there had been no human possibility of Sister White knowing anything about it. Dear Elder Olson was in the deepest perplexity, as he had known nothing of the meeting the evening before. Elder Ballinger broke the silence by saying, "Sister White has described a meeting that some of us attended as accurately as could anyone who was present." He said, "Sister White, I was the one who held up a copy of the Sentinel and pointed out the articles that should be left out. The meeting was held in the Review Office Chapel last evening. I shall never forget the look of perplexity on the face of the dear woman as she looked at Brother Ballinger and exclaimed, 'Last night!' We who attended that morning meeting had no breakfast that day. The meeting, which began at 5:30 and usually closed at 6:30, continued until well on in the forenoon. It was one of the most remarkable meetings that it has ever been my privilege to attend. Men of strong iron wills, who the night before manifested a spirit of unyielding stubbornness, confessed with tears and brokenness of voice. Elder Dan T. Jones said, 'Sister White, I thought I was right. Now I know I was wrong. Jones, in his usual rasping voice, said, You are right, now, anyhow. The Holy Spirit witnessed to the testimony borne by his servant in that meeting. And instead of division, there came a spirit of unity and sweet communion. The sentinel, now called Liberty, has continued to this day to bear a mighty message of truth to the people. It is very clear why Sister White could not relate that vision to Elder White and me in her room at Salamanca, and why she was withheld from giving it as she attempted to do 3 times that Sabbath afternoon, White Estate Document File 107B, The Salamanca Vision, by Olson, 1845-1915. At the General Conference in 1891 at Battle Creek, Sister White had been attending our early morning ministers' meeting for a number of days in succession. Each time I had gone to her the day before to ascertain whether she would be present or not. On this occasion, I called on her in the afternoon. She then stated to me that, having attended a number of meetings in succession, she thought that she would not come tomorrow, but that I should arrange for the meeting to be conducted without her presence. In consultation with the pastoral committee, it was arranged for Professor Prescott and myself to have charge of the meeting the next morning. We met as usual in the south vestry of the tabernacle. The meeting had been opened by singing, and we were engaged in the first season of prayer. While we were engaged in prayer, Sister White walked in with a bundle of manuscript under her arm. Her coming was entirely unexpected, and of course we all received the impression that she would have something special for us. At the close of the prayer season and singing a verse, we gave her the time. She arose and stated that she had not expected to attend this meeting, that she had told Elder Olson the day before that, having attended a number of meetings in succession, she would not come today, but that, at 4 o'clock, she was awakened, someone taking hold of her arm, waking her up, and she then arose immediately, got ready, and gathered up her matter, and came to the meeting. She was impressed that she should present some things that had been shown her in October the year before, while she was at Salamanca. She then began to read, describing a meeting that was shown her that was held in one of the rooms in the review office, where a number of brethren were together. She described their attitude and their earnestness, and the position which they had taken, for there was a heated discussion, as they could not agree on certain questions at issue. Personally, I sat there in blank bewilderment. I did not know what she referred to. I had neither heard of nor had any knowledge of the things that she presented, nor of such a meeting as she described. Indeed, I was so surprised, and the things she presented as having taken place in that meeting seemed so unreasonable, that I was quite nonplussed in my mind as to what this meant. She spoke at considerable length, and placed the matter very definitely before us, and showed up the wrong spirit that was manifested, and the erroneousness of the position that had been taken by certain ones in their discussion. When Sister White closed her remarks and sat down, Captain Eldridge, if I remember correctly, was the first one to arise, and his first statement was, I was in that meeting. Then he went on to say that, last night, after the close of the conference, some of us met in my room in the review office, where we locked ourselves in, and there took up and discussed the questions and the matter that has been presented to us this morning. I will not say that this is word for word what he stated, but it is the import that he gave in his talk. And we remained in that room till 3 o'clock this morning. He stated further, If I should have begun to give a description of what took place, and the personal attitude of those in the room, I could not have given it as exactly and correctly as it has been given by Sister White. He further stated, I now see that I was in error, that the position that I took was not correct, and from the light that has been given this morning, I acknowledge that I was wrong. He said more to the same effect, but this is the import of his testimony. When Brother Eldridge took his seat, The next one to arise, I think, was Jones. He also stated that he had been in the meeting and that the description that Sister White had given was true and correct in every particular, and that he was very thankful for the light that had come to them, for it had become a serious situation. While we were all honest and sincere and wanted to do the right thing, still our views were at variance, and we could not agree. So he expressed his great thankfulness for the fact that the Lord had given light and set them right.
Then others spoke, but I do not remember so definitely what they stated, but all agreed to the points brought out in the acknowledgments of Brother Eldridge and Brother Jones. And it seemed so wonderful to our brethren when they learned that this had been shown Sister White months before, while she was down in New York attending meetings at Salamanca, and that she had then and there written this, and now, just at the time when the thing happened, without any plan from any human being, she was brought in there before the brethren to present what the Lord had shown her. As before stated, the meeting in the review office room closed at 3 o'clock, and at 4 o'clock, Sister White was awakened from her sleep and bidden to go to the meeting and bear her testimony, so that Sister White had had no opportunity to have any knowledge of what had gone on in that room during the night in the review office, but that the Lord had shown it to her before the thing took place. And now, the very morning in which it took place, she had been, in a special manner, called by the Lord to present what had been shown her. It is needless to say that it brought not only relief to many minds, but gave cause for great thankfulness that at such a critical moment the Lord stepped in and saved us from the perplexity and confusion that seemed to be coming up on important questions. This question at issue was our relation to the religious liberty work, and the matter or the attitude that the American Sentinel should contain and the position it should hold. This is all that I can call to remembrance on this subject. To me, personally, this became a very valuable experience, and gave me increased confidence in the Lord's leading, and the spirit of prophecy and its helpfulness in the church and the work of the Lord. White Estate Document File 107B, Recollections Regarding the Salamanca Vision, by Gardner, 1861-1946. Dear Brother White, I will now write you regarding my recollection of a morning meeting in the South Vestry of Battle Creek Tabernacle, 1891. It was General Conference, I believe. My brother, Elder Gardner, and I were both in attendance at the special Bible and Church History Institute, conducted in the East Vestry of the Tabernacle mostly by Elders Jones and Wagoner and Professor Prescott, 1891-1892, and which institute was followed, I think, by the General Conference. As there had been considerable discussion of the law in Galatians, and another matter or two, Brother and I watched all Sister White's talks with particular interest. Furthermore, I said to my brother, I have never yet seen what I am sure was a direct miracle. Many others have. I am going to be on the alert, improve every opportunity. Perchance Sister White will be given a vision, and I hope to be present. When on that particular morning Sister White came in to the early 5 o'clock devotional meeting, Brother and I were happy to be present. We wished for our wives who were with us most of the time, and who chided us for not taking them with us this time. But that was like the meeting when Thomas was absent. Who then present knew that meeting or occasion was to become memorable for extraordinary manifestation? Elder Olson, after praying, called attention to Sister White's being present and expressed satisfaction, and asked whether she had a message for us. She arose, stating emphatically that she had. The undivided attention of all in that room was enlisted for about half an hour or longer, I should think. Sister White related what she had seen in vision, a sharp contention over what should be, or should not be, run through the columns of the American Sentinel. If I remember, and I am quite sure I do, for I was a regular subscriber to the paper, the editors, Jones and Bowman, I think, had already run pointed articles through the paper on the Sabbath question and the Second Advent, and were being severely criticized for so doing.
The criticism was against anything sectarian by appeal to the scriptures in the Sentinel, but that the paper should advocate the broad principles of civil and religious liberty, carefully avoiding any church affiliation. They argued that the paper was read and approved by men of influence in state and church, and now to offend their senses by declaring for the seventh-day Sabbath and the end of the world would be suicidal to the interests of the American Sentinel. They were sure of that.
Sister White said, "I was shown that the paper was being widely read and favorably received. It had gathered the confidence of people to whom the full light of truth was due, and just now was the time to place the light of the Sabbath truth from a Bible standpoint." She also said she was shown that these articles, instead of lessening the list of subscribers, would increase its circulation and demand. She said, and I never shall forget the impressiveness of the occasion, "I saw one of the brethren standing before a number in council, holding up a paper, at the top of which I could read, American Sentinel, pointing to certain things which ought not be published in this paper, and gave reasons, as he thought, against such articles." When Sister White had finished her emphatic testimony, Elder Ballinger arose and told what I didn't know, that is, that a committee meeting had just been held that very night, and rather a stormy one, so pronounced were the opinions on both sides. "And brethren," said he, "you know well who that man holding up the sentinel in that committee was. I am that man. I surely thought I was right, but when the Lord speaks, that's an end of all controversy as far as I am concerned. I shall study this matter from another standpoint." Other brethren followed Brother Ballinger with similar import, but I only remember definitely Brother Ballinger. I was so glad for his testimony. The skeptic may say, Sister White received information through natural and ordinary sources and circumstances, but I satisfied myself fully before the conference was over that she received her knowledge of affairs, touching which she spoke so positively, even as she told us, at the hand of the angel of the Lord, as in Daniel's day. And I said, this is a reward of merit, so to speak, for our painstaking to attend all meetings early and late, lest, being absent, we should lose what we greatly desired to gain. That occasion and experience has been an interesting object lesson to me from that day, 24 years ago, to the present time. Gardner, White Estate Document File 107B, The Salamanca Vision, by Cottrell, 1852 to 1940. On March 8, 1891, at a religious service held at 5:30 a.m. in the south vestry of the tabernacle at Battle Creek, Michigan, Mrs. E. G. White read from a manuscript, as she frequently did in general assemblies. During the course of her remarks, she said, as nearly as I can call to mind, that during the visions of the night, she appeared to be in a council meeting of brethren who were considering plans concerning the makeup of the American Sentinel, when a man arose holding the paper, the American Sentinel, open in his hand, and pointing with his finger to a short article treating on the Sabbath question, in the lower right-hand column, said with intensity of feeling, "That article should not have been allowed to be printed in this paper." Mrs. White followed with a strong reproof of the course the man she had seen in vision had taken to shut out articles on the Bible Sabbath from the columns of the American Sentinel. Having finished her reading, she sat down. Immediately, Elder Ballinger, secretary of the Religious Liberty Association, arose and said that the meeting referred to in the testimony just read by the servant of the Lord had been held at a late hour the previous night by the Religious Liberty Board of Council, and that he was the man who held the American Sentinel in his hand, and pointed to the article treating on the Sabbath question, and made the statement read from the testimony. He admitted he was the guilty man, and confessed he was on the wrong side of the controversy. Mrs. White had conducted the tabernacle service the evening before, and after she had retired, the council was held during which the controversy arose, but the meeting had been shown her in vision months previous to its actual occurrence, as evidenced by the very large manuscript from which she read. The event made a very deep and lasting impression upon me, and is still vividly impressed upon my mind. There is not the least doubt in my mind but that the Lord showed her this prior to its actual occurrence. White Estate Document File
107B, The Salamanca Vision, by Edna Kilbourn Steele, 318 San Mateo Drive, Loma Linda, California, August 11, 1946. Elder Arthur L. White, Washington. Dear Brother White, in the 1946 General Conference Bulletin Report No. 3, a study by Elder Wilcox on The Testimony of Jesus, subhead entitled A Remarkable Experience. I am writing this letter to you as I remember very distinctly that experience, as I was in the home of Sister White at that time.
I had gone to Battle Creek in 1889, and after a few months in the school, I went to Sister White's home to do secretarial work wherever needed. I was a rather green stenographer, and my work largely consisted of making copy just on patriarchs and prophets, and also on other work as it came along. W.C. White was secretary of the Foreign Mission Board, and I was the one and only stenographer in the office. At that far-off time, we wrote letters to all the Seventh-day Adventist foreign missionaries in the world, and not too busy at that. I also did some work for J.E. White from time to time. Came the General Conference of 1891. Sister White's home was at her room, was the front room on the second floor of the long office building that extended to the street. Sarah McInterfer and I occupied the room next to Sister White's. I remember as though but yesterday the events of that particular morning when the Salamanca manuscript was read to the ministers. Sarah got up early and quietly slipped around to Sister White's room to see if she wished to go to the meeting that morning. Sister White replied that she would not go, that she had no special message at that time, and told Sarah to go back to bed. And I well remember of Sarah returning, saying that Mother was not going to the tabernacle that morning. Now, Sister White was not supposed to ever go out by herself alone. Always someone went with her, usually Sarah, sometimes W.C. White, and a few times I had that privilege. But on this special morning, after she had told Sarah to go back to bed, she was suddenly and strongly impressed to dress quickly and to take that manuscript she had written so many months before and go to that early minister's meeting. Dark as it was, the walking anything but good, as the winter was breaking up, she crossed the street alone and safely reached the tabernacle. Neither Sarah nor I had heard her pass our door or go down the stairs to the street. In the meeting, she read the manuscript. It was as though she was in a meeting somewhere, where the American Sentinel was being discussed, a 4-page weekly sheet, I think it was, published by Elder Jones, at someone in the meeting arose, and holding up the periodical and pointing to an article, said that articles like this should not be published, it was too strong, and should be modified so that the people would not become prejudiced. The article in question was on the subject of the Sabbath. This was a wrong principle, and what Sister White read was a strong rebuke. During the reading of the manuscript, Sister White noticed that there was much uneasiness and consternation in the room, which she could not understand. When she finished and sat down, there was a hush, a deep, tense silence for a brief time, and then someone arose to his feet and said, "That meeting was held last night in the Review and Herald Office Chapel, continuing till a late hour." And holding up a copy of the American Sentinel, he said, "That periodical is this week's issue of the American Sentinel," and pointing to an article in the middle of the front page, he said, "This is the article on the Sabbath referred to by Sister White, and I am the man who said such strong articles should not appear in the Sentinel." And that man was Elder Ballinger. W.C. White helped his mother home from the meeting, and at the breakfast table she had much to say about what had happened in the morning meeting. Again and again she expressed her surprise and astonishment that the Lord had worked in such a marvelous way. She could talk of nothing else. She did not know of the meeting the night before. She had not seen a copy of that week's Sentinel. It was as much of a surprise to her as it was to those who listened and who had been at the meeting the night before. And she had seen it and had written it all down months before it had happened.
In Elder Wilcox's article in the Bulletin, he states that she was aroused at 3 a.m. that same night and wrote out what she had seen. But, as I remember, it was already written some 6 months before while at Salamanca, New York, and, as I remember also, it was written in an old BD&S dummy. BD&S meant Edson White's book, Breakfast, Dinner, and Supper, a household book he published about that time. Of course, this can be verified as to whether or not I am mistaken, as the original manuscript is preserved, and I would like to know. Also, I still remember where the drawer was located from which she took the manuscript on that morning, in a chest of drawers straight across the room, opposite the door through which one entered the room from the hallway. And that was the marvelous part of it all, that she had written it all out in such complete detail so many months before, and, without knowing anything at all about the meeting the night before, she had it all ready for use at exactly the moment when needed.
At the breakfast table that morning, in addition to the usual large family, were Elder and Mrs. McClure of California. If I remember correctly, Anna Ingalls, who later went to Australia, was there, and also Georgia Burris, who went to India. And it seems to me that Sister Josephine Gotzian was also there. Of these, Sister Burris Burgess is the only one still living, besides myself. It was a wonderful event, and I have always been glad the Lord let me have the privilege of being there. It was such a definite assurance that God was back of Sister White's work. I do not know whether these details may be interesting or not, but in any case, I am impressed to write as I have. I have told this interesting story many times during the many years, and if I am mistaken in any of the details, I would like to know, as I wish to be correct. Very sincerely, Edna Kilbourne Steele. White Estate Document File 107B, The Salamanca Vision, The Testimony of Six Witnesses. In the night of November 3, 1890, Mrs. E.G. White had a vision at Salamanca, New York, in which she was shown many things relating to the progress of the cause in different parts of the world. Some of the things then shown Mrs. White were not related till the time of the General Conference held in Battle Creek, Michigan, March 5th to 25th, 1891. Much of what was shown her in this vision related to matters considered at this General Conference. At the time of this conference, a special meeting was held after the Sabbath evening services, March 7th, in the Review Office, by the officers of the National Religious Liberty Association and the representative of the American Sentinel, for the purpose of considering the nature of the articles to be published in the Sentinel, and the policy to be carried out by the Religious Liberty Association. This meeting continued till after 1 o'clock in the night. At 3 o'clock that same Sunday morning, Mrs. White was awakened by the angel of the Lord, and instructed to write out what the Lord had revealed to her at Salamanca 4 months before. She got up and wrote out a message, and came to the early ministers' meeting and read what the Lord had previously shown her concerning this meeting held in the early part of that same night in the Review Office. She related how the angel guide had said to her in the vision already mentioned, "Follow me," and she had been ushered into a council meeting where men were advocating their views and plans with great zeal and earnestness, but not according to knowledge. One brother stood before the council with a paper in his hand and criticized the character of its contents. The paper was the American Sentinel. Pointing to certain articles, he said, "This must come out, and this must be changed. If the Sentinel did not contain such articles as these, we could use it." The articles pointed out as objectionable were upon the Sabbath and Second Coming of Christ. After Mrs. White had finished her testimony, Ballinger arose, weeping, and said, "I was in the meeting last night, and I am the man who made the remarks about the articles in the paper." He confessed his error and said,
I am sorry to say that I was on the wrong side, but I take this opportunity to place myself on the right side. The president of the National Religious Liberty Association remarked that he was at the meeting, but said that he would not undertake to describe the meeting. That was unnecessary, because the description as given by Mrs. White was correct and more exact than he could give it. The relation of this vision made a profound and solemn impression upon that large congregation of Seventh-day Adventist ministers present at that early morning meeting. When they heard those who had been reproved for the wrong course taken in that council confess that all Mrs. White had said about them was true in every particular, they saw that the seal of divine inspiration had been set upon that vision and testimony. The power and solemnity of that meeting made an impression upon the minds of those present, not soon to be forgotten. We, the undersigned, were present at this morning meeting and hereby bear testimony to the correctness of the facts stated above. Signed, Johnson, College Place, Washington. Cottrell, Portland, Oregon. Breed, College Place, Washington. Thurston, College Place, Washington. Star, Forest, Idaho. Flays, College Place, Washington.